if you didn't have $20, that call ain't for you.
Right.
So relax.
Right. Yeah. Some people feel like, okay, he can't even give $20. So, I mean, you know,
hey,
so what does that say? Hold up. No, yeah. No, because we live in a world where people are judgmental as far as giving what you want to give the church. And it's not necessarily the pastor. It could be a sister who's very, or a deaconess feel like he's one of the disciples, and he feels like you should give more than that.
I'm with you. No, that happens a lot.
There you go.
I don't smoke.
There you go. All right. Go ahead. Let's lead it off. This is your show. This your thing, baby. Make it happen.
Well. Yeah.
Come on, man.
What are you looking at me for?
All right. Okay, you ain't got to worry about it. All right. What's good, y'all? Welcome to the Way Podcast. I am the street sweeper, Cool DJ Foot, and I'm over here with my partner in crime. The man of the show, the man of the hour, Mr. Big Gene Massenberg. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Spectacular, Danny.
Spectacular.
Appreciate you asking.
All right, okay.
Appreciate you.
Hey, man, we got a lot of things that we're going to talk about today. We're going to touch bases on quite a few things. But when we got a guest, and man, you want to talk. We ain't got no guest today, so what? I mean, what's wrong?
You silent? So you want to show off?
No, I'm not showing off. I'm just voicing my opinions here. I mean, you know, as you say, opinions of Big Gene are not necessarily reflect those of me, right?
But as they was old people, you know, old people from my way would say, don't get too big for your britches.
I think my britches are pretty big, bro. I mean,
Big for them.
I don't need them no bigger.
All right. Me neither. That's all right.
No bigger. Hey, man, we're going to open up the floor about it. Let's talk. Start talking about your boy, man. Mr. Marvin Sapp. Let's talk about it. Let's hit it.
Here we go.
Come on, hit me with it, man. Go. Let me know what's going on with that.
You know what, man? That's how it's hard for people to stay saved, man, because of stuff like that. Not Marvin, you. That's all right. Nah, I'll just play. Look, the thing with Marvin Sapp, now, I don't know everything that went on with that. I know that that is a organization and that, you know, it's a certain way that they do things, and sometimes people can capture a few moments. You know, and it's totally out of context. So I don't know what kind of business they were handling at that time. Sometimes when you're doing conferences and stuff like that, you might be in a room and then you got traffic from the next session coming in or in and out. So sometimes you may want to close the doors in those sessions so that when you're doing that, you don't want that constant in and out flow or distraction from what's going on. So from what I saw, I did see that the head of the organization kind of put out a statement about that and how Marvin Sapp was there and he was actually doing what he was asked to do. And, you know, man, sometimes people can get a snippet and then they run with it and they like.
So it's pretty much like myself when in the music industry, I mean, we're supposed to speak on entertainment news. Some entertainment news we speak. And some news, I mean, me personally, I ain't in the degrading business. I mean, especially if I'm in the business of doing what I'm doing because it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. I mean, so my thing is I'm here to entertain the masses and have a good time doing it. But I'm not gonna run nobody down because of that. But I mean, sometimes you have to bring the message for people to hear it. Yeah. It might not be what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. I take, for instance, me with, I'm going to take, let's say Chris Brown or Trey Songz, for instance, Virginia artists.
Yeah.
Skills, for instance. I mean, you know, you're not going to catch me, you know, trying to clown them or trying to degrade them or trying to do any of that type of stuff because that's where we're from. I mean, it's like me trying to run down on your own people, trying to, you know, just trying
talk about yourself.
Exactly. That's I can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because number one, if it wasn't for Trey, I wouldn't have been as many places as I've been, you know, traveled. Mm-hmm. I mean, and with Chris, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Chris Brown was one of the first people. He can say that I was one of the first people he interviewed here, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, in Virginia. So, I mean, you know, and it's like I said, you don't go around tooting your horn because of that. But then again, you can read the news and you can read the consistent antics of like maybe Kanye or somebody like that. I mean, you know, it's like every day is something like, man, what is wrong with this fool now? I mean, why is he doing that? And that's why I say, that's why we opened the floor because, you know, you know, some pastors, and this is why I'm talking about this right here. Some pastors have been put under the microscope for certain things, and but they've been like you know, rejuvenated. I guess they found their way. I mean, and you know, and they, you know, just so
I get it. You know, I and even with the thing, you know, I met Marvin Sapp on a few different occasions. Mm-hmm. There's probably some pictures out there on the internet or something, you know, where, mm-hmm. you know, me and him probably taking a picture together or something like that. I've been at some conferences that he's been at, which is cool. You know what I mean? The man has done a lot of good work. You know, he has ministry. He also, you know, like I said, he's a gifted music artist. You know, it's sometimes, man, it's hard, and it's not even just gospel, but gospel sometimes is scrutinized very heavily. People can get a snapshot of one thing and take it totally out of context. You know, so now, you know, now of course people are gonna make light of it. It's gonna be funny. You know what I mean? And I understand that. I got a sense of humor. I laugh at stuff too. Right. You know what I mean? Right. I got a sense of humor.
Right.
You know, shoot, I'm made in God's image. If he didn't have one, he wouldn't have gave me one.
There you go.
So, Amen to that. You know, there are things to laugh at and all of it. So some of those old skits from A Living Color and things like that I'd have seen on the internet Marvin Sapp is hilarious. Yeah. But then I also understand on the other side, he said he received death threats and people saying this, that, and the other about him, and they really don't have the whole scope. You know, because there is something called church business, and church business has to happen. Church is just like any other thing out here. It takes finances to run.
Right.
And sometimes when you're at conferences and things like that, when they're trying to raise finances, you know, you're operating in a nonprofit, stuff like that, then, it does sometimes require the people to come together and raise a certain amount of funds to do it. I don't know if the conference may have been under budget, you know what I mean? They didn't meet the budget and they were trying to make the budget. It can be a lot of things like that. And then sometimes they will ask people, hey, look, can we come together in order to make this happen? And, you know, and even looking at it, you know, they weren't asking everybody for $1,000. They were asking people for like $20. So it wasn't like, you know, they were trying to really get in people's pocket like that. But, you know, man, when people already have skepticism, people already have their own opinions about church, then anything that they see, they'll jump on it and run with it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's not fair, you know, but it comes with it, you know.
I was going to say, so that should be like a two-sided coin then, right? I mean, if you looking at it from, say, from your standpoint, I mean, I've seen like TV evangelists, there have been people in churches that say like, if they didn't meet a certain quota, then they wouldn't be able to live to see another day. And I mean, you know, it's just taking things to the extreme sometime. I mean, you've seen it. I mean, we've seen it. I mean, especially the TV evangelists. I mean, you know, and like, you know, like, you know, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. I mean, come on, give me.
So you hit on like false prophets.
Pretty much. I mean, and when they tell you stuff like that, man, I mean, you know, it's like, so how am I supposed to take that? If you're giving me false prophecies, how am I supposed to take everything into consideration that we talking on the same level? If we talking about God and we talking about the level of, you know.
I got you. Yeah. I got you. So like, man, one of the big things that we do have, especially when we start talking about things like people making these, you know, you got these prophets out here now that's kind of like some of them done gone rogue.
Right.
You know, where they making prophecies about, you know, everybody, you know, you're going to get a new car, you're going to get a new house, you're going to get this, you're going to get that. And that is different than biblical prophecy.
Okay.
So One thing that the people that hear it, and one way to weed things out like that is for the people themselves to be informed. Okay. So, you know, I can only speak from a Christian standpoint, but as the word lets us know that we should study to show ourselves approved.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, not somebody else study to approve me, but I need to study to show myself approved.
Gotcha.
That will cause me to be able to weed out the fluff. So you do have a lot of people nowadays and a lot of people that come with these, they got a word for everybody. You know, that's a little off base because you got a lot of prophets in the Bible who only had one word. You know, and then people will give you a prophecy that God ain't even spoke to you. You know, right. Prophecy should be confirmation,
right?
Or something that you know. So if you speaking to something that God ain't gave me now inkling in my spirit ever about, I mean, you telling me something that is not even trinkled in my spirit, then there's a good chance that somebody lying, and right. I'm pretty sure it ain't God,
right?
You know what I mean? Somebody missing it. You know what I mean? And I don't think God is the one that's missing it. So in that, when we study and we understand what true prophecy is, then we can weed out all the fluff and all the impostures out here. You know, in Bible days, if you prophesied a lie, the false prophets were put to death.
Right.
You know what I mean? They ain't like that now. People can say anything. It come true, don't come true, it don't, you know. Sometimes people are talking just to hear themselves talk,
right?
But we have to be informed as people because, as the word says, even in Hosea, it talks about my people perish because of lack of knowledge. If you don't know, then that will cause you to perish because then you're gonna hear something and you're gonna believe whatever you hear,
right?
So somebody could tell you, "Hey, look, give me $1 million and you're gonna get a billion-dollar company tomorrow." Well, if you believe that. I mean,
go and get it, right?
If you believe that, yeah, you know I mean, but sometimes you do have, you know, vipers that prey on the vulnerable. Yeah, you know I mean, and in a sense, I compare sometimes those false prophets to they're no different than casinos. Yeah, you know I mean, I'm gonna sell
it's
you a dream.
It's a gamble.
I'm gonna sell you a dream, and when I sell you this dream, you know what I'm saying. That this might happen, you roll the dice.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, but at the end of the day, when it comes to the casino, the house always wins.
Right.
Yeah, you know I mean, there's no accountability. So when I tell you, hey, look, God said this, well, if I just said it and it ain't no foundation behind it, then, you know, you just rolling the dice. You hoping what I'm saying is real. But if, you know what I mean, You can't have someone speak something to you and then don't understand that even if it is true, there's one thing that you can't skip with God, and that's something called process. So just because it may be true, God can show you a vision that, hey, yeah, you are going to get this house, or you are going to get this car, or you are going to have this type of family or this type of life. But what God also has in play is something called process, and you can't skip process. You know what I mean? And that's where a lot of times people get off. So those false prophets sometimes sell process, just like a casino sale. You can win this $1 million.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And next thing you know, you lost all your money.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, that opens a whole lot of doors. I mean, and this is why when you speak, you know, when you speak, I listen because, I mean, you speak things and you speak them in a way where it's relatable. It's you know, every Sunday, I leave home with a word. And I'm not just telling you this because you're my guy. I'm telling you this because you're so relatable with it because it's not under, you don't give it those false presumptions of what's going on. I mean, you know, you lay it on the line and you tell it like it is, not how it should be. You know what I'm saying? You just, I mean, it's reality. That's the part that you can appreciate. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you know, so the way has shown me the way. I'm real appreciative of that. You know, so I mean, you know, and I gotta give you all the credit and praise, and I give you flowers right now because you have really shown me a lot. You know, in this, you know. In my journey, in my travels, you know, I'm I listen, I sit back, and some things be so deep, I be like, oh, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, so yeah, you get your props, man. I mean, you know, so I mean,
You know, well, you know, man, I'm personally myself, I'm just trying to live out God's will. You know, do I got it all together? No, I'm still a work in progress, as you all well know.
Oh, yeah, you know. definitely. Amen.
But I do believe, you know, man, there has to be a certain purity and accountability in what you do and what you say.
Right.
There is very easy for people to, you know, sit outside of church and judge. It's very easy to find a scapegoat or any reason for you to get out. You know, I always say this, when things get hot, the flesh look for the quickest exit. Wow. So anybody sometimes is going to look for a way to disqualify what is said from God, and also to get out of their accountability to God.
Yeah.
So, you know, man, the thing with Marvin Sapp, I don't consider it nothing crazy. I don't think it's outlandish because I've seen it. And people will look at that snapshot, man, and try to say, and put a judgment on the church, man. And to be honest, they don't even know enough about it to be qualified to critique it. You know, I even saw Shannon Sharp make a response talking about the gospel and how Marvin Sapp responded, or what Marvin Sapp did. Well, the truth is, you don't even know enough about the situation to actually critique that man and what he's talking about.
Exactly.
Because if you weren't there and you didn't see the whole context, if you don't understand what they're doing, you don't know what they're raising money for. You know what I mean? It comes from that perspective that it looks like the church is just always trying to get something from somebody, and it's trying to strong arm for somebody, but they don't understand necessarily that that situation could have been something realistic that they're looking at. Hey, look, we need to handle this business, you know, on this end. So, you know, man, you know, people will use their platform like that to talk about what that man is doing. But, and look, I ain't got nothing against Shannon Sharp. The brother can do, you know, he's doing a great job of what he do. But I do understand, too, you got to be careful when you pass judgment on that situation and you ain't been in it. You don't really know all the details. You just know the snapshot like everybody else. And now you're going to try to critique a man of God that has been walking in the word for 20, 30, 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's not a novice.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you're going to take your little bit of knowledge and the little bit that you know from whatever, however many times you went to church or what grandmama told you.
Right.
And what you think it should be.
Right.
And you don't really have a real understanding of how all of this works. So, you know, people don't understand. Church requires finances and money. Even in the Bible, Jesus and the 12 disciples, Judas was the treasurer. That's when he left out, he took the money with him.
Gotcha.
So even in their little group of 12, they still had a treasurer, understanding that there was finances involved in what they were doing. Even when Jesus told the man of God, look, go and get this fish out of the water, go pay your taxes and mine. So, understand there is a financial context to it. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of times people, and I'm going to just be real about it. Most people get icky about church finances because they don't want to give.
Right.
So they will vilify the what they're giving to because they don't really want to give. So if I vilify it, then I can say, well, I ain't giving it that. You know, they crooks. They doing this. They doing that.
Yeah, well, it's the world we live in, though. And like I said it last time, man, we don't live in a perfect world, and everybody is judgmental in their own situations. They're depending on what's going on. And, you know, just like you said, just like, you know, sometime financially, I'll say, well, if I got it to give, I give. But if you don't have it to give, you can't squeeze blood out of a turnip either, you know. So some people might think, like you just said, I mean, you know, I know I ain't gonna give it to them because no, sometimes people don't have it to give.
But
you know,
see, let me talk on that real quick.
Yeah.
Cause in order to help some people out, right? So what happens is, right, you gotta understand something. If there was a call or something like that for people to give, if you don't have it to give, then that call isn't for you. Right. So you shouldn't feel guilty about not being able to give what you don't have to give.
Right.
So It's just, you know what I mean? So in that case, if they had a call for $20 like they did that time, it does. If you didn't have $20 or to spare or whatever it is, if you don't have it to give, then that call ain't for you.
Right.
So relax.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It ain't for you.
I get that. You know what I mean? But, I get that. But but to play devil's advocate, and I don't like doing that, but you know, some people might say, well, God, he can't give $20. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so sometimes people, hold up, and this is the church that we live in nowadays. Some people feel like, okay, he can't even give $20. So, I mean, you know, so what does that say? Because we live in a world. You live in a world. I live in a world. We live in a world where people are judgmental, even going to church. As far as giving what you want to give the church, mm-hmm. people get an attitude about that, because if you give $10, well, you ain't give a $10. Why you ain't get 20? Or why you ain't get it? I mean, some people, and it's not necessarily the pastor. It could be a sister who's very, or a deacon that feel like he's one of the disciples, and he feels like you should give more than that.
Well, I'm with you. No, that happens a lot. One thing I've learned a long time ago, you can't count another man's money.
Right.
So
right.
You don't know what somebody has going on, what they do have or what they don't have.
Right.
So you can't count another man's money. You can only count your own. Now, what you have in those situations is you do have people in church that are judgmental. But see, that lets you know that they're getting an error, because now we're getting in a comparison. You know what I mean? They're not actually focused in on what they're giving. Now you're going to try to make a judgment on what I'm giving.
Right.
But I got to give according to what God put on me.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and not necessarily what you think, where you think I should be, because you don't know where I'm at.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? You don't know where I'm at in my finances. You don't know where I'm at this time.
Right.
So you can't make a judgment on the moves I can and the moves I can't make.
Yeah.
So but sometimes, man, you got to have peace in yourself to be able to deal with those things that come from the outside.
Right.
You know, guess what? In the Bible, it talks about the woman who gave the two mites. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody else was giving out abundance. They had plenty of money to give, and they were doing this, you know, dropping big money.
Right.
Jesus sitting at the watching what people giving. She gives the two mites. Jesus says she done gave more than all of you. You know what I mean? Why? He says she gave out of her substance, out of her life.
Right.
Like she probably was in a situation where she really didn't have it to give, but she gave what she had.
Right.
And one of the things too, man, and one of the misconceptions that have to be cleared up is when we start talking about the judgment seat of Christ, like him watching that, it's not based on how much you give,
right?
But it's the position you give from. So the judgment seat of Christ is looking at not necessarily what you did, but why you did it. So giving large amounts when you have it to throw away doesn't move God.
Right.
That, you know what I mean? So sometimes we get people in the church that want to look down on what someone else gave because they gave more. But if you're giving out of your abundance, then you really haven't given more than the person that gave out of their substance.
Right.
Because guess what, man? If I got millions of dollars sitting around, I can go on a service. I can find a foundation or nonprofit. And it's nothing to give $50,000 or $100,000. And yes, that can cause some people to go ooh and ah. But if I can give $50,000 and not even miss it, versus the single mother out here that really giving $20 and she's not even going to have gas to get home, but she's giving it because she wants to support God's work and God's ministry, then guess what? Just because you gave $50,000, you still didn't account on the level that she gave.
Right.
But she gave out of substance. So I don't want to see people get in church, man, and get hung up on the opinions of other people. And that happens. People get hung up on, well, you know, and some people puff their chest out.
Right.
Oh, I gave $100,000. I gave this. I gave that. And so.
And in the same breath, if they're there to be a person of God or a person that that worships God and a person that respects God, why are they looking down on the little person, if you catch what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if you give away 50,000, okay, you gave away 50,000. Why? Because you had it to give. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sitting over here. Now, well, you got 50,000 over there and I got $500 over mm-hmm. here, you know, and I give you what I got. Mm-hmm. It's more of a, it's not a misconception. It's actual fact, because that person that gave away that 50,000 is going to definitely look down on that $500 person. I mean, and you got some cases, I take that back. Some cases, some people don't put it under the magnifying glass, but a whole lot of people that do, you know what I'm saying? I mean, they walk around, you got a fly vehicle. I mean, yeah, I get it. You've been blessed in more ways. You've been blessed abundantly. And you got people that just try to take and just, oh man. And you see it happen too much. And these are people in the church that will walk past you with their nose all up in the air, man. And it's sad. It's sad.
Well, you know, man, you know, you got to be delivered from people.
Right.
That's the big thing. I'm not concerned.
I know. See, that's easy for you to say.
Well, I've been there though.
Oh, so have I. We've both been there.
So,
but
that's why I say you got to be delivered from people, because right. I've been at that stage where you feel the pressure to right. feel like you need to do this because I'll put it like this, right? You know, the Bible talks about people who, Pharisees that used to pray right. out talk on the corners and pray yes, loud and day. They got these long drawn out extravagant prayers, but they praying to be seen.
Right.
And the Bible says, don't let that man think that he will receive anything from God, for he has already received his reward. Okay. So, there are things in God that do work, right? So I'm a firm believer in seed time and harvest. That's true. Yeah, I mean, that is something that was put in play after Noah, after the world was destroyed. He said, look, I won't destroy the world again, you know, till the end of time. You're going to be hot and cold and seed time and harvest. Yeah, I mean, all of this is going to last. Now, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. That's a life thing. You can't, where there's no investment, there is no return. So you have to be, you can't put out and expect back what you're not willing to give. So all of these things are necessary to do what you need to do. So God, seed time and harvest is a principle that exists, period. Uh-huh. Whether, you know, and even to go into it even more in depth, seed time and harvest is not spiritual. Seed time and harvest is a law. I mean, God put in the earth, I mean, to the end of time. That is going to exist. And people say, oh, seed time and harvest, some of the church, oh, it is spiritual. No, it's not spiritual. Mm-hmm. Because if I go out here and I sow an apple seed in the ground outside, that apple seed will grow. Mm-hmm. If an atheist come beside me and sow an apple seed in the same ground, guess what's going to happen? His seed will grow too. Yeah. So it is a law. It isn't spiritual. You know what I mean? But in the same light, it's a law that works. So what happens sometimes, you'll get people in church, right? And they believe in God for some stuff. And they're saying, look, I'm going to sow this seed. I'm going to get this and I'm going to get that. And first of all, you got to listen to see if God told you to give that. You know what I mean? If that's something that he's asking you for. But if he's not asking you for that, you can't just sow it and assume you're going to demand that from him. He's not obligated to bless the seed that you sowed that he didn't tell you to sow. So he's not obligated to move on something he didn't tell you to do.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, but on the other end of that, you have some people that sow because they want to be seen. So right. you have right. to be careful with the thing you're talking about as I kind of bring it together.
Right.
When you get worried about what people see and you're worried about looking the part and, oh, well, you know, I can't get $20. I got to get $20. I don't want to look like I don't belong. Right. Guess what? So when you get in line because you just want to give for pastor to see you, you know, you want pastor, I'm in the $100 line and all this other stuff. I ain't never did no mess like that, but I know people still do that. But
really?
Yeah. But when you give because you just want to be seen, then it's not. Remember what I talked about earlier. The judgment seat of Christ is not what you did, but why you did it. So you're giving to be seen, right? But then, but you also still have a need, right? Or some kind of issue that you said, well, it's a faith project. Well, when you give it to be seen, then you already got your harvest.
Right.
It was instant. It was instant. I gave because I don't want pastor not to see me up.
Right.
You know, I don't want to look like I ain't got $1,000. Mm. So guess what? Your reasoning, God looks at the reasoning. The Bible, if you say, God, know my heart, the Bible says he judges the intent of the heart. So now you've come and you've given something and you're saying, oh, yeah, they saw me. I went up there. Whoo, God, I hope you bless it. Well, you've already reaped the harvest instantly because you did it to be seen. So guess what? You were seen. So you collected. Because the seed, he's dealing with the intent. You went up there for vanity. So you reap vanity.
Okay.
It wasn't because you love God. It wasn't because you were trying to push the kingdom of God and the work of God and put God's house first. It was none of that. It was for your vanity.
Yeah.
So when you sow vanity, you reap vanity. The word of God says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sow, that shall he also reap.
There you go.
So sometimes people, and then those same folk will get upset and be ready to leave church and lead all, because they said, this stuff don't work. Actually, it did. It actually did. Because where your heart was when you did it, you didn't even really have to wait. You got an instant return.
So spiritually, your heart was in the right place from the top.
If your heart wasn't in the right place,
it wouldn't be received.
That's the thing. But see, that's the thing. When we start talking about seed time and harvest and sowing, whatever a man sowing, that is what he's going to reap. So when your motive is off, you have to be careful. Because when the motor's off, then the harvest is going to be off.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So
gotcha.
For years, right? And I've been like this. So, man, you know, I didn't give hundreds of thousands of dollars in years.
Yes, you have.
Year,
you know what I mean? Yes, you have.
You know. And, you know, the church I used to belong to, sometimes they would get me to do like little offering calls or something like that on pastoral anniversary, stuff like that, to be a blessing to the man of God. And man, I got this revelation a long time ago. I would tell them, I was like, look, and sometimes it would sound a little crazy when I would be doing the call for the offering stuff. And I would tell them, he has nothing to do with what I give. Everything we do should be a service unto God. So man don't get in the way. See, because when you start looking to man, then you start looking for your blessing to come from man.
Mm-hmm.
So then a lot of times people are doing things to make their pastor or their apostle or their bishop happy.
Yep.
And that's cool. But understand, when you if you're doing that for that, understand the reward has to come back from that. And then that's when people get disappointed. But for me, I'll always let people know that, look, what I'm doing is strictly between me and God. He ain't got nothing to do with what I'm giving.
But is that cool? Is that cool from a godly standpoint? Or is that when you got disciples that are out there trying to do what they do for a personal gain or for to have something to talk about? Are they doing that for God or are they doing that, like you said, for show?
You got people that's doing it for show. You got a lot of people. Look, let me tell you something, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell you something. I done been in these churches. I done been in these huge conventions. I done been around people. You know what I mean? People like to kiss pastors' butts. You know what I mean? People, you know what I mean? Understand?
Say it again.
People do. People like to kiss pastors' butts. But here's the thing. I've seen all that. And yes, you have a lot of people that do stuff because they want to be seen.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
They do it because they want to be seen by man.
Yeah.
And loved by man and respected by man. But that's why, you know, and you've heard me say, I tell you, I don't want people to fall in love with me. I ain't got a heaven or a hell to put you in. I'm trying to get in heaven myself. So I don't want you to fall in love with me.
I like that.
You know what I'm saying? Because guess what? I ain't got nowhere to put you at. I can't vouch for you. You know what I'm saying? You get to heaven, God ain't got. I ain't a special witness. You know what I mean? They can speak on your behalf.
I can speak. I can vouch for you.
You know what I'm saying? I can vouch for you, bro. Hey,
because
you put me there, bro.
You put me there. I vouch for you.
But the truth is, God knows everything.
Yeah, and He does.
God knows all. So God, Guess what? He know every secret. You know what I mean, it's certain things you may not want me to witness for you, because it could be some things in my closet that God know that you don't know, and I might not be the one you want to speak for you.
So
in front of God, because God might be like,
stop
God.
Right there, stop right there. Mm-hmm. So you're admitting that you have a closet.
Mm-hmm. We all do. We all got a closet.
Okay.
All right. We all got a closet. It's not a person alive that ain't got a closet. You know, one of my big prayers, man, for real, started many years ago. I said I wanted to be, one of the prayers I had was like, God, I want to be able to give you all of me.
Right.
But that's something that everybody has to pray.
Right.
Because the truth is, there are parts of you that your wife don't know. Your children don't know. Your closest homeboys don't know. It's things that certain people are privy to certain information.
Right.
But there's always, guess what? We have multiple closets. You know what I'm saying? Because the closet, you got a closet that your significant other ain't got, they can't go in. But then you got a closet that your kids can't go in.
Mm.
But maybe your significant other can go in. And you got a closet that your boys can go in, or your girls, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
whatever it is, they can go in and they know, but guess what? These ones over here don't know. So everybody has a closet, and you know, but the thing is, man, when you get in God and something, you're like, hey, I want to be able to give you all of me. But the thing is, when you give all of you to God, can you open up the closet when God called for it? See, that's what keep people from being giving God all, because sometimes God will call for your closet.
Right.
And you don't want to open it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You like, let the past be the past. A lot of times that happens with kids and parents, because parents want to sometimes tell kids what not to do. And what the kids be like, you don't even understand. You don't know. But that's because a lot of times we want to look lily white and we want to go ahead and tell them, hey, look, I know. But then we don't want to witness and testify about what we did and how we know.
Yeah.
So the kids feel like you're a phony.
Right.
Because you're talking something that you don't know, but they don't really know that you were knee deep in it and did it all.
Right.
But we want to hide that. Right. But once again,
some of the things in life that you have to bring to the surface, because you got to let people know. I mean, it ain't about keeping it 100. It's about keeping it not real either. It's about life in general. I mean, you know, and some people throw stones at glass houses because they've never lived that life. They never been on the other side of the coin, but they can pass judgment on people like myself. Yeah, of course, I got a testimony, man. I went out here. I tried to hustle and I wasn't successful.
You paid the price.
You know what I'm saying? I paid the price for it, but I mean, that don't change who I am as a person, because I feel like in my heart, number one, it hurt my mother, it hurt my father, it hurt my family, it hurt my friends. I mean, because even friends that I had, I mean, I've been DJing forever, and it hurt some of my friends, because some of my friends in law enforcement, I mean, it was a couple of people that knew me. As a matter of fact, I can put it out there. I can be one and proud to say it. Officer Samuel Shands. He saw what happened and he looked at me. You know how your daddy look at you and be like,
yeah.
I mean, and this
disappointed.
Guy, and yes, and this, his whole family, all of them, love him to death. Miss King, all of them love him to death. But he gave me that look like he said, I can't believe you. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe you. He knows my mom personally. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's like, it broke his heart, man, for real. I mean, because when I had to go up there and, I mean, I had to stand in front of my mom and just man, it woke me up. It humbled me. Mm-hmm. I mean, it made me realize that, hey, man, you ain't got to do this. You ain't got to be there doing these type of things. But just being raised the right way, being a, I can say I'm a child of God. I mean, I can say my mom and my dad taught me the right way. My sisters taught me the right way. You know, my family, I got a strong family bond. You know, I got, I mean, brothers and sisters. I mean, we come from a family of eight, but it ain't a tighter, it ain't a, we fuss, we argued, we, but it ain't a tighter family around here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yes, I get it. I get the big picture. So that's why I say people were in the church right up the street from where we were born and raised were looking at you sideways, you know, like, but then again, the same people that you grew up in the neighborhood with are the same people that you can go call across the street and say, hey, come over here and dump my trash for me. Yes, ma'am, I'm coming. I'm on the way right now. So, you know, it's people that can pass judgment on you, but they don't know the real you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I think that's true. You know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, you ain't got to, you know, anybody, when I talk about giving God all of you, that don't mean you got to blur out all of your business whenever. But no. What that does mean is when the time comes, right, and God needs that from you, are you willing to give it? It may be a one-on-one with somebody.
Right.
And maybe it's something that you got back here in the closet that you don't put out to everybody. But if that's needed to set somebody else free, are you willing to let that thing go in that circumstance in order to save that life or to save that person in where they're going? You know, so that, you know, but also in what we're talking about, you know, and I'm fighting hard against this with what, you know, what I've been doing in ministry lately is for people to get away from identifying the church by location. You know what I mean? Because we are the church, the people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, You can get confused by what some people may gather together, and just because they gathering together and call it a church, it could be a building full of demons. You know what I mean?
Right, because everybody has a different message.
Yeah. So just because you got a bunch of people gathered together and they call it godly, it doesn't necessarily mean that it is godly.
Right, because the consensus wanna agree with you. I mean, some of them sitting there right there in the same congregation with you and looking at you like,
yeah, but we got to be careful not to lump everybody in the church into a location.
No, and that's what we're not doing.
So when we understand that, you know, like you just said, right? Your mother is the church,
right?
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
So like,
exactly,
you know, your father is the church. Those ones that show you love, and you know, even the sheriff or whoever that see you, in disappointment, maybe they may be disappointed, but they're not looking at you in judgment. Yeah, I mean, maybe they're in disappointment because they care about you, and they're willing to be there and not beat you down, but to help you up.
Yes.
Those are the things that people have to register. So sometimes when people start talking about church hurt, I'm big on you need to sometimes look at church love as well.
Right, exactly.
When you talk about what happened to you at this particular location, but then when you look at the people that are around you, that love you, that support you, and they're doing it not because they're so special, but they're doing it because God is in their heart, and they're doing what's right by God. So if you're going to give a location credit for church hurt, then you got to give all those around you credit for the church love.
Exactly. Yes. You got to take it all. Yep. If you take the love with everything everything that comes with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Understood.
Yeah.
That was deep, brother. That was deep.
Hey, man, you ain't doing a bad job there.
That was deep.
You know, maybe I can leave you home alone after all. Segment has been brought to you by Mass Watches.
Keep on.
No, you got it. I'm good.
No, keep on.
I told you, I ain't got no topic.
So you spoke for about almost an hour and you ain't got no topic. So you done talked out. That's what you're telling me?
I ain't spoke for an hour.
How long we been on there, Daniel? How long we been out there? 43 minutes. 43 minutes. Just now, if you had to go to commercials and all the fluff and everything in there, it would be almost an hour.
So we're supposed to be doing the commercial and stuff. But you ain't doing what you're supposed to do.
Now you can tell me I ain't doing what I'm supposed to do. This your show. You're supposed to be the producer.
I'm big on a lot of different things. I'm busy, schedule tied up. What are we talking about now? See, you looking at me like that. I see the disrespect.
This is one of them we just finished talking about.
You can't say everything you want to say.
Damn,
we about to get put out of the studio because about to look at
this. Because I was ready to pick up this chair, man. I tell you what,
just you pick it up. Just make sure you just picking it up to move it.
So why you say that?
Huh?
Why you saying that?
I mean, you said you were gonna pick it up. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with picking it up. Just make sure you put it down where you picked it up at.
Okay.
I mean, what you plan on doing with the chair when you pick it up?
Nothing. Just moving it over there.
Yeah,
I'm sitting in the corner.
Yeah, what I thought.
Put it downstairs. Okay, we got a few more minutes, man. Let's talk about your boy Kanye.
Who?
Kanye West.
Who?
Yeah, him. That guy.
Oh, your homeboy. Okay.
That's got to be my homeboy.
No, I'm just saying, man. You know, y'all elite.
No, I ain't elite.
You're elitist. What's going on with Kanye? I ain't heard nothing, so I don't know. You know, I'm out the loop. What's going on with Yeezy?
Well, actually, he made a startling, I would call it a scathing statement, talking about Beyonce and him and Jay-Z's kids. He called the kids retarded, and I mean, come on, man. I mean, this is Kanye West. I mean, you know, but then again, you can expect the unexpected with him. I mean, he said that's what artificial insemination do. It'll make you have retarded kids. And I mean, I think he went a little bit overboard with that.
I heard a little something about that, man. Yeah. You know, I believe we're all God's children.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, sometimes God got special kids, you know, in more ways than one. You know, and
so why are you laughing when you said? Why are you smiling when you said it though? Go on, why are you smiling, man?
Man, yo,
hey. He was way out of line. I don't care what. I don't care how you slice it. He was out of line. Now, I mean, you know, people might value his opinion. His disciples might follow him, but I don't support
demeaning someone's children.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you know, putting them down in that way, you know, what you know, if you mean it in a negative aspect, anything that comes out and you is really not meant to help but to hurt, you coming from the wrong spirit. So, you know, whether or not they did do artificial insemination, whether or not they did have
it's their business though.
However, they had their kids, you know what I mean. That's really nobody's business.
Mm-hmm.
And then even if there's an issue with that child, you can't pass judgment on that child. I mean, that they're that way because of their mom and their dad. You know, sometimes things happen and complications happen, and you can't say that, you know, a child's issue is just based on that alone, because you got a bunch of children that were born and conceived that way and there are no issues. So you can't say that that's the issue, you know. And, you know, I would say that I just think that's an unfair statement, you know what I mean, to make about them. And you know, that's still their children, you know, and they love their kids, and, you know, their kids are still people. And, you know, to make that, you know, to kind of come out with that and say it in that way, I don't see what's beneficial of it.
I just think he was out of line in more ways than one. I mean, he's very outspoken. I mean, it's like he does it for attention, but man, to go at somebody's kids, no, that's not cool. In no arena, I don't care. I don't care how you slice it up, you know. He was 100% wrong.
Yep, yeah, man. So I'm walking in your world, entertainment.
No. I mean, you got a lot, because you seem to know everything about entertainment and what's going on. I mean,
I'm well informed.
Yeah, so am I. But some things I just can't give it. I can't give it life to talk mm-hmm. about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
like, man,
he trolling everybody. Yeah. You know, he's trolling everybody too. 50 ain't no better. You know what I'm saying? He does a lot of trolling and for all the wrong reasons, I think, you know, but then again, it's entertainment from his standpoint. I mean, it's ignorant if you look at it. You know what I'm saying? It's ignorance too, you know. So I mean,
got a segment in my book, Youth Media and the Fame God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wow.
Legislation of the Heart, Getting Life Right. You can get that on Amazon, Books Million, all these different places brought to you by yours truly. But in that, you know, that's, you know, I was in one perspective at that point of life. There's certain things in that book that I may not agree with now, but, you know, because we're always changing. But to be honest with you, you know, me coming from a Christian perspective, you know what I mean? God didn't say that there wouldn't be other gods. He said, you don't put any God above him.
Right.
You know, it's only one true and living God. You know what I mean? But some people worship fame. That's real. To be honest with you, and I call it the fame God. The fame God is kind of taking over our young people because everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to be liked. Everybody wants followers. That's the thing, you know. So when we look at social media, everybody has followers.
In this day and
everybody time, wants likes. I mean, they're addicted to social media. They're, you know what I mean, everybody wants to be an Instagram model. Everybody wants to have the most followers so I can try to turn money from it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? All these young ladies walking around here now, everybody got an OnlyFans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's the truth. It's the truth, you know what I'm saying? And when they do that, man, what they're looking for? Followers. They're looking for subscribers. They're looking for people to give them money to do that. So it's a real life, and I mean real life, playing out of the scripture is what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? Mm-hmm. So you got people selling their soul for toys. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
You got people selling their soul, you know what I mean, for a few followers, you know what I mean? I looked at a video the other day, man, and it just blew my mind. I saw it on social media. It was these guys, they went into a blood neighborhood wearing crip apparel and then ran up on some guys just talking crazy rap.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, like, you really want likes.
Smoke. You want that smoke.
And that's followers. Smoke. To the point that you're willing to put your life on the line for what?
And then they tell you, it's a prank, it's a prank, it's a prank.
It's a prank, prank.
Yeah.
Well, guess what?
Everybody don't take it that.
You better thank God that he gave you grace to make it out of that prank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you can't abuse grace. God will save you, but so many times. You know, I let my kids know, grace does have an expiration date. You know, the Bible has a statement that says, just because we know grace abounds, shall we continue in sin? Surely not. Just because you know you have grace, you don't press your luck. Because eventually with God, grace runs out.
Right.
And you can be out here pressing your luck in grace. Thank God that you didn't get caught this time. It's like the dope dealer. You know what I'm saying? You can be on, you can make this run. And you survive this time, it doesn't mean that you're going to survive
next time.
Next time.
Because
mm-hmm. the last one or the last run might be the last run.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
Run, yeah.
So people worshiping, man, recognition and people worshiping fame. You know, every girl want to be an Instagram model. So they putting up pictures videos on the internet. Wearing the tightest clothes they can wear or wearing none at all. You know what I'm saying? it's the truth.
Yeah.
You know, they putting their stuff all in the camera. You know what I'm saying? But guess what, man? Well, you know, you got to look at what are you really trying to gain? Are you trying to gain validation? You know what I mean? What are you trying to gain? You're trying to gain recognition. You're trying to gain self-esteem. You know what I mean? You're trying to gain, you're going the wrong way to try to gain that stuff. See, You can't fix what's broke on the inside from the outside.
Right.
People don't get that. What's broke on the inside got to be fixed on the inside. Mm-hmm. You can't fix what's wrong inside the house outside the house.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times, our young ladies and our young men are so wrapped up, man, they got stuff that's broken on the inside, and they trying to look for validation and likes, and they trying to, because if the more followers I get, that mean they support me and they like me, and the more likes I get, that means I'm right. People, you know, and then we get confused in the world. We get confused in the world because we think just because somebody's successful, that mean they can't be wrong. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
that's true.
Just because the cat got the sold 10 million records.
Right.
Like, he can't sell 10 million records. He can't be talented and stupid. You know what I mean?
If he's selling 10 million records right now, he probably is a little bit on there.
Well, hey, that's possible too.
Yeah.
But you feel me? But we assume that having talent and ability also means wisdom. This is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. You have a gift. But being gifted in one area don't mean that you're beyond reproach in another. That's everywhere. That's whether you are a rapper. You know, and it's crazy that we didn't kind of detour to this, right?
Right.
Cool, we've been talking about entertainment and stuff, right, here today. So last night, me and my wife, I think it was last night or night before last, we were sitting in looking at TV in our bedroom, and I was scrolling through some stuff on the internet, and I ran across, everybody know about the whole thing with the rapper Yella Beezy being arrested for killing Mo 3, right?
And
so I ran across a clip, man, you know, because we do a lot of work in Dallas. So, you know, I got offices and things like that. So we're out in Dallas in the Fort Worth area heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at some of the clips. I ran across a clip of the Cat Mo 3, and I ain't even know him when he got killed, to be honest with you.
He was big. He was big.
But I saw this clip, and he was doing, you know, like a little clip of himself in the kitchen freestyling or rapping, but he kind of singing and doing what he do.
Yeah, yep.
And my first thought was, this brother talented. Mm-hmm. He has a gift.
Yeah. Just like Rod Wave was. He's another Rod Wave. That's all it is.
But I was like, man, he's talented. He can sing. He can
rap.
Rhyme. He has a gift.
Yep.
But it's amazing how, man, in the wrong hands, how the gift will become a curse. His gift, when perverted, killed him.
Yep.
And some people don't want to say it, but that's the truth.
Yep.
His gift was perverted and it killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Us being in these communities, and we deal with kids in these communities from Fort Worth to Irving to Dallas and all over. Mm-hmm. And to see that stuff start from little arguments, little songs, mm-hmm. you not letting me on stage. I don't like them, so you shouldn't like them.
Right.
And we going back and forth in a rap beef.
Yeah.
Our talent.
It's in the way.
We beefing about our talent. And it ultimately took a turn where, since we couldn't agree, we both got a talent in the field. Mm-hmm. We're arguing about that talent and how we express that talent, to the point now where I'm killing you behind your talent.
Mm.
That's really what it boils down to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a, you know what I mean? Or I'm at first, I guess, from, you know, I don't know how the story went, because I don't know if they did it or not. But first, one attempting to kill one, and then one actually killing the other.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All because we're using our talent in a perverted way.
Yeah.
So one person's life is gone and the other one is gone too. The devil wins. The devil wins.
Yeah.
So when you sometimes, man, like you said, you know, I'm well informed. In the scope that I'm in, you know, the Bible says that we're not ignorant to the devices of the enemy. But the truth is, most of the time, yes, we are. We're not in the know. So if you don't know, you have to know the enemy you're fighting.
Right.
If you don't know the enemy you're fighting, truth is, most people don't know the enemy they're fighting. Mm-hmm. You got two, man, you know, and I've seen this over the last few years, all of these rappers getting killed. I mean.
Over minor stupid over stuff. Over
yeah. silly stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
My pride, you said this. Oh, yeah. Oh no, you ain't did this. You ain't did that. Mm-hmm. You ain't never really did this. You know, we done got to rapping and we going back and forth over nonsense.
But their favorite line now is, you the ops. You know what I'm saying? You the ops.
But peep this. The devil is perverting your gift. See, we don't know the game we're playing, right? So you get into something thinking it's one thing, but the truth is, us spiritual folks know. It said the Bible says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Mm-hmm. Steal, kill, and destroy. The one thing I can tell you about the devil is the devil play for keeps. He play big game. This ain't little game. This big bank take little bank. You know what I'm saying? He play big game.
Right. Okay.
And people don't understand sometimes what starts off looking like nothing. The end game is he wants your life. That's the end game. He wants your life. And these rappers, man, they getting in these little beefs and these little things about pride and respect. But the Bible tells us pride comes before a fall. That lets us know God hates pride. Because the graveyard full of it. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, the graveyard full of pride.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And we don't understand what you thinking it's a battle of disrespect. You thinking it's, well, he trying to say I'm weak or I'm whack. You don't understand that the devil is playing a game where he wants both of you.
Mm-hmm.
I can get out of the rap game with it. You can go into your household. Most people don't know the enemy they're fighting. Hey, we were talking about money and church and stuff like that. So let me go. I'm going to go ahead and run down the prosperity gospel line, right?
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah, I got permission?
Yeah.
All right, let's run down it then. All right? So sometimes you'll have a situation in the house, right? Let's say you're in a prosperity ministry and you believe in God. We going to be blessed and we going to do things the right way and we going to get to this point of financial prosperity. Ta-da! All right? Now, the husband may not be as financially responsible as he needs to be at this season. Training is happening. Then you get the woman, she upset. You messing up. I'm trying to get there. You paying bills late, account overdrawn. You ain't doing this. You ain't doing that. You trying to mess up our blessing, blah, blah, blah. You ain't tithe or something. You ain't giving like you supposed. So you got all of this going on. And now you end up in a position now where you're talking about getting divorced. When you're trying to weigh a principle. When you're trying to say, well, yeah, he just ain't there. He holding me back in the spirit. Let me help you with something. The devil don't care nothing about your car. He don't need a car. He don't drive.
Yeah.
He don't care nothing about that house you're talking about. He don't need one.
He don't own it.
He don't care about your diamond ring. He don't care about your airplane. He don't care about none of that. Mm. He wants your soul. So you got on a principle and then you thinking that it's about you getting your bag.
Right.
Not understanding that he wants your house. So he wants your children. He wants y'all to split. You thinking you doing the godly thing and he ain't godly enough or she ain't godly enough or whatever it is. But what the devil wants is your child to grow up without a father in the home.
Mm.
So he wants your son not to have an example. He wants your daughter not to have an example of what a man is. He's going for the head.
Yep.
He guess what? I mean, now you thinking it's about your finances. Now he's handicapped your children. He's, you know what I'm saying? He's not going after. He's playing big game. You looking at small stuff.
Right.
And, man, so many things happen. And guess what? You know, I looked in our area out here. Wow, we have 75% female head of household. Hmm. 75% female head of household. Because the family's been stricken. The game of the enemy is to take off the head. So you end up split because y'all both started off right. Young guy in church, you didn't got so overwhelmed with the principle, understanding that if y'all don't stay one, it's not gonna work. But now when you split, now you haven't looked at the collateral damage, because the devil won't going after your car. He was going after your children and they children. He was going after your house. He's going after everything in there. He wants to tear down what God put together. He wants you to get off base and be back in the street. He want him to be back in the street. Mm. He want the kids to stay in the street from the jump and never get in. Mm. And he wins. And that happens when you don't know the enemy you fighting. You fighting the wrong battle. You fighting the wrong fight. You ever seen Martin when he was fighting Hitman Hearns? Hitman Hearns right here. He over there in the corner hitting the ropes and the, you know what I'm saying? The devil will hit you with a shot. And now you your head on backwards and you don't even know where the enemy at now. So, you know, man, that's why we have to be aware of the enemy's devices.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it in the previous episode, but when it comes to your children, how you don't know what they listening to.
Right.
So how are you take them to church for an hour on Sunday.
Yep.
You ain't had no meaningful conversation Monday through Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to combat what the enemy is doing?
It's true.
You know, man, I'm, you know, God is helping me with all of that. You know, I called my son on the way up here and, you know, God put it in my spirit, man, that I need to apologize to him for some stuff. You know, me and my son got a good relationship. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We good.
Great.
Yeah, man.
Shout out to AZ. Yes, sir. I see you, brother.
But sometimes, man, you got to know the battle that the game that the enemy is playing. And as you see it, you got to grab it, man, and then actually respond to it. And then I had to think about, man, there's some things that you know, we all have an image of what we want our kids to be and where we want them to line up at. And, man, I had to check myself this morning at home in the bathroom where I do my best thinking, you know. But I'm saying, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about, man, some of the things that, you know, some of the conversations we had, some of the things I'm pressing on him that I think he should be doing by this age and what, you know what I mean, manhood stuff and different things like that I'm trying to push out there. But then I had to think to myself, this standard, did I teach it to him? How can I hold him to a standard that I didn't teach? I'm just believing he should have grabbed it from somewhere. And that he should apply it from somewhere. But did I teach the standard that I'm holding him to? You know what I mean? Did I, you know, or was I too busy? No. You know what I'm saying? Or was I too busy? Or was I hoping that he caught it? You know what I mean? But how can you catch something if I didn't throw the pass?
Well,
you know,
I mean, so there's some things he got to learn as he get older, as he progresses, but. You've been an amazing father to them kids, man. And you already know you're a great father, man. I mean, oh, you know, yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that
we all know
how you are about your kids, man. I mean, you know, shout out to you for who you are, man.
But you know, man, in that, man, you know, and I believe, you know what I mean, people do the best that they can with what they have. So when you know better, you should do better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for me, you know, the bar is always changing. You know what right. I mean? You know what I mean? I may be good, but I could be great. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's even me as a husband, me as a father, right. as a friend, as a business partner, or whatever it is. Good ain't good enough. You know what I mean? It's always room to grow. There's always lessons in the development. You know, you the Bible says from glory to glory. Some people go to glory and get stuck. Just because it's good in this season, and what was good enough today don't mean that it's going to be good enough for tomorrow.
Yeah.
So, you know, dealing with, you know, my youngin', I'm like, all right, well, I got to check myself. You know what I mean? I do. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, even in being a father, and I ain't even trying to get into some of the stuff I may be talking about this Sunday, but even in that, man, I have to be honest in myself that there's some things as a father I don't know how to do because I wasn't fathered that way. You get what I'm saying? Because my dad wasn't in my life.
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but
So
it's as a process as you go, though. I mean, you don't try to make yourself, you're not going to be the perfect dad. You're not going to be the perfect dad, because some things that are overlooked as, because you have a hectic schedule 24 hours. I mean, you, come on, give it up. Tell the truth, man. Sometimes you don't even sleep. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, you constantly around the clock, you got a million and one things going on, man. I mean, it's like we talked on the last episode, it's virtually impossible sometimes for you to be reached, but it's understandable. But there are times where you have to make time for certain situations, true. And you have to be their father and say, okay,
that's true.
Yeah, and that's what I have to do sometimes, because I got boys. Yeah. I got more boys than I got girls, and I worry more about my boys. I don't worry about my, I worry about my girls, but my boys can take care of themselves. Yeah. But, you know, I worry about the girls because my girls are grown, but I have granddaughters. So, I mean, you know, if you know how I am about my daughters, then you know how I'm going to be about my granddaughters. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I mean, it's just as well as my grandsons, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but we know, it's just like we were talking about knowing your religion and knowing how to be in a part of life and knowing how to be in church is a point in time in everything. Mm-hmm. And you find time to, you make time to discipline your kids on a level that's, well, I'm even still learning, and I'm forever blessed. I'm forever blessed at the lessons that I learned from you. Because, amen. I mean, so yes, it's a learning curve as you go along. So, now, man, you know, as a father, you've been magnificent as a father, man.
So, I appreciate that, you know. And man, you know, the thing is, I think sometimes I want to make sure that not only for myself, but for other people, I let it be known that growth is always necessary. And just because it's understandable doesn't mean that you're not accountable.
Right.
You know what I mean? So even though I can empathize with where you are, but it doesn't mean that I still don't have an accountability or a responsibility to improve and to do better in those areas. Right. So, you know, man, I'm working to be a better husband. I'm working to be a better father. I'm working to be a better man of God. I'm better. You know what I mean? I'm working to be a better friend, a better business partner. This is real life stuff. And, man, all that starts with accountability, you know, and just knowing that, hey, I ain't perfect, but I'm willing to keep working and keep trying. And that's really the gospel in a nutshell. You know what I mean? You ain't perfect, but you got to keep trying.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah.
Well, I ain't got nothing else.
Yeah. Me neither. I don't. I mean, it's
good job, it's Foot. Not...
So you being sarcastic. That's sarcasm. That's sarcasm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you try to tell me I can't hold on a conversation? Is that
I'm just saying.
So why you being sarcastic, bro?
Because you always make me do it.
Make you do what?
Huh? Yo, it's making me
was
scared.
This was a general conversation. You and I
did. I like it. It was good. I can't give you kudos.
Not when you being sarcastic.
Okay, then fine. It was trash. We gonna delete this episode, Dan.
A bunch of trash. I wish you would.
Bunch of trash, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. But for real, this segment has been brought to you by Mass Watches. Make sure you go and get yours, man. Show off. Yes, sir. That's not a watch.
For all your timepiece and jewelry needs.
It's Mass Apparel as well. Yeah. God almighty, he blinging over there.
God is good.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All the time. All the time. Yes, sir.
All right.
Over here. Yeah.
See y'all next time.
Yes, sir. We got you.